Welcome to the Private Practice with Soul podcast. My name is Dr. Brooklyn Storm, and I help private practice owners align their business back with their soul's calling, with their big vision, and with their soul's purpose. Unlike other private practice coaches, I've traveled the world in search of spiritual resources, spiritual tools, education, and information so that you can have the transformation that your soul desires and needs, so that you can up-level your business. How much fun is this? I love it so much. Guys, if you're not already a member of the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group, please check out the show notes. I would love for you to be there. In the meantime, thank you so much for pushing play today. Let's begin. Good morning, everybody. Happy Saturday. Welcome to another episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Brooklyn Storm. And of course, thank you for pushing play on another episode. And welcome to all of the new subscribers. How's your week been? Was it a big one? I think just about all of us are back at work now, almost back to full diaries, many of us, and getting back to school as well. Those of us who are mums with kids, I know where I am at the moment, the schools have all gone back. So the neighborhood has changed and all the traffic has changed. And it's beautiful to see everything just continues, doesn't it? Everything kind of progresses. So what I wanted to do today was talk with you about supervision, like what it actually is, why you need it, what you can expect from supervision and all those sorts of things. Because guess what? I have been speaking to women in private practice about supervision because, this month I was working on enrolling women into group supervision and private supervision, and the enrollments actually close at midnight tomorrow. But what's come through for me is, very surprisingly, and not going to name any names or anything like that, so don't stress out if you're one of the ladies I spoke to. But there are a bunch of people who don't take supervision that seriously, it turns out, who are kind of just scraping through with the bare minimum. and there are some people who themselves, they're not, not that there is an association between memberships and supervision or anything like that, but when you're a member of a club like the APS, if you're a psychologist, or AASW for social workers, and ACA and PACFA if you're a counselor, when you're in one of those organizations, you're bound, you're required to participate in a certain amount of supervision. However, it turns out there are a lot of people that aren't in any of those clubs, which is fine. I'm not in any of those clubs either. That's a whole other podcast. I just want to keep away from politics for a little while. Honestly, that's all it is. However, there are a lot of people who aren't in any of those clubs, and so they don't have any of those requirements. And what I'm hearing is that, for some reason, participating in supervision just hasn't been a priority for them. And they're contacting me because they're interested in, what's soul-centered supervision and what does that look like? So they're coming to me because they're interested in that. Like the soul connection first and the supervision part second. And I'm saying, tell me about your experiences of supervision in the past. Like, what has been really powerful and effective for you? And they're like, well, I had it maybe 10 years ago and I didn't like it. And I'm thinking, 10 years ago? My goodness. So of course I ask a question, hey, why haven't you maintained supervision? And it's just really been that it's not valued sometimes, it's not prioritized, life gets in the way. Sometimes we get more focused on other things like working on the practice or doing that direct client work and filling our diaries up with appointments and things like that. And for whatever reason, sometimes supervision just gets bumped to the bottom of the list, doesn't it? And then the other thing that the other thing that I've become aware of, again, just from talking to, and I've spoken to, no joke, maybe about 30 people who are running private practices just in the last couple of weeks. One of the other things that comes up is that, there's this resistance to investing in supervision. So the feedback that I'm getting is that people just want free supervision. And I'm like, well, I don't know where you're going to get free supervision from. And then people are like, well, you know, I can't afford one-to-one supervision. And I say, well, we've got group supervision and that's a lot more affordable. Do you want to do that? And they're trying to negotiate down with me for a fee. And I just think to myself, okay, not an ideal client. So no, I'm not going to be negotiating my fees down. My fees are already more than reasonable. But it just makes me wonder too. I think, again, we come back to that. I've said it to you before, like that idea that transformation's in the transaction. And I think, you know, we can probably, if you're honest with yourself, you know, this is just private between you and I, it's only you and I here. But I think you can probably bring to mind a time where you did some pro bono work, or you did some bulk billing, or you really lowered your fees because you really wanted to help somebody. And for whatever reason, it completely backfired. Like, I don't know, from my experience anyway, I've done this before and that person became really demanding and wanted a lot more than I was willing or able to offer. And so it really required me to, you know, tighten up my boundaries around things. But then, of course, I went and did it again because I think as women in private practice too, where it's just in us innately, isn't it, to be so compassionate and to have all of this empathy and to really, really want to help. And I say to myself, well, you know what, yeah, I've got this fabulous business. It's a profitable business, da-da-da-da-da. And so I do some pro bono work because I like to give back. You know, I grew up, as you know, like living below the poverty line in Melbourne, Australia. And I think that really sucks because it shouldn't have happened. Like, it's a first world country. How does that even happen? So of course, part of my values around social welfare and social justice is of course giving back, because I don't want anybody to miss out. So I do that, and not all the time, but more often than not, when it comes to doing pro bono work, or, you know, I've reduced my fee or waived fees or stuff like that, these people have become like the biggest headaches for me for whatever reason. And when I'm now talking with peers or colleagues and I'm saying, hey, you know, this is the fee for supervision, and they're trying to bargain me down, I just think, no, I'm not going to do it. So what happens is I think to myself, if you want to get the most results from anything, you have to show up and you have to commit. I can give you another example of people not paying for things and not doing the work. You know, like, I've got some free offers on my website, and, you know, hundreds of people download these offers, but not many people actually follow through with the stuff, versus nearly 100% of people who pay for my products finish the stuff, get results, write the testimonial, have a ball, have a transformation, etc., etc. So when it comes to you needing supervision for your practice, and I say need because it's essential. You have to do it. I mean, let's remember here that regardless of whether or not you are in one of those memberships that we spoke about before, even if you're not, you are still required by, in Victoria, I think it's called the HCCC. I think it's called something else in the different states, but there's a health commission that governs how you practice. And of course, one of those guiding principles is not doing any harm. So you need to make sure that you're on track. And if you're just operating in a silo, you know, as most of us are, we're in private practice. A lot of us are working from home in isolation. We're not around other women that we can be bouncing our ideas off. And you know what it's like bouncing ideas around in social media? It can be brutal. Like, we've all seen that. So you become fearful and you don't bounce your ideas around, but you just think that, you know, you're going along fine until all of a sudden you're not. So you have, I believe, a moral and an ethical responsibility to invest in supervision. And I think that it absolutely needs to be prioritized. And in saying that, I don't think it's enough to just like enroll in it and show up. I think you actually have to take it very seriously, of course. so that you can improve the way that you show up for your practice, and you can improve things like, you know, if you're outcome focused, which we all should be, like focusing on the outcome that that client gets from working with you, whether that is to feel more comfortable within themselves or improve their confidence or address body image or improve their sleep or something more complex. So in saying that, there are a couple of things that supervisors would normally be doing when they're working with you, whether it's in a group or a one-to-one session. They can be sort of broken down into four categories, and those categories are evaluation, education and challenging, administration and support. So for example, part of the role of a supervisor is to, you know, look at what's going on for the supervisee with their counseling and support that supervisee in developing their own process of self-review. It's also around, you know, really enhancing quality of service delivery for that supervisee by making sure they've got good models for best practice and easy access to them. Understanding, you know, when they're operating outside their zone of competence and when it's okay and necessary or required to refer on, and helping them really understand about client progress and what that looks like for them in their practice with the demographic that they use, how they can really powerfully case plan for their clients, and helping them assess, you know, their strengths and weaknesses. We want to help our supervisees become the fullest expression of themselves in the beautiful work that they do. Education for supervisees and also that role of challenging, I think once you have a really good therapeutic alliance with that supervisee, not that it's therapy, but good supervisory alliance, I should say, it's really important to, you know, track the supervisee's progress, as well as, you know, plan for next sessions, providing them with resources, explaining why something is the way that it is, explaining the rationale behind why we're suggesting, that they contemplate certain therapeutic approaches for certain client demographics that present in certain ways. It's really important to have that safe space, hold that safe space for a supervisee, so that you guys feel like you've got that safe space to be really vulnerable. Because, you know, if you're not talking to your supervisor about the things that are scaring you in your practice, who are you going to talk to about it? And how are you going to get things sorted out? You're not. You're going to get in your head and you're going to stress yourself out and be really super worried about everything and super anxious. And, you know, you're going to lose sleep and all that sort of stuff. So one of the functions, I believe, of, you know, good supervision is providing you with a space where it's safe to say, hey, I think I stuffed up, or hey, I want to be open here and just say, look, I'm stuck. I don't know what to do with this client. And really, I think helping you understand, you know, your obligations, of course, your responsibilities, of course, around ethics and legalities and all of that sort of stuff, but also to understand your rights, because I think there's been such an emphasis on client care, which of course we need, but there hasn't been much emphasis at all on our own care. Like, what are our legal rights with clients who cross boundaries, for example, or what are our responsibilities with clients who, overstep boundaries, or what are our obligations in those situations, or who are we obligated to? What action can we take to look after ourselves? So it's a two-way street, and I want to really get this emphasis off it being 100% about clients and bring it back to, no, there are times when clients don't do the right thing by us, and we need to be aware of how we can feel empowered to take action, what action we can actually take. And then, of course, you need to be supported with the admin side of counseling, because, you know, I think, I don't know if you're like me or not, but I honestly, when I first started, I thought I was just going to be sitting in a room, doing therapy. I had no idea about the admin that was associated with it. I mean, Medicare, anybody? Work cover, anybody? I'm aware of psychologists that donate whole days of their private practice to just doing Medicare admin or private practice admin. And, you know, that's fine for some people, but that's not how I want to run my practice. So I don't. And I want to teach you how you can manage the admin side of your practice so you're not donating a day to your admin either. And that's going to include things like looking at the procedures that you've got in place to support you in having that practice. You know, we talk about wanting freedom in our private practice, but does it feel freeing to you to have a day for your admin? Or would it be more freeing to be able to run your practice differently? And that's going to be different for each practice, because each practice is different. You want to be able to talk with someone about, hey, what should I be looking at for my private practice when it comes to things like accounting or my spreadsheets or my money or my cash flow? What about what records should I be keeping and how should I be keeping them? And what insurance do I need? Where do I get that from? You know, I mean, it's really frightening to me that there are people who are doing counseling and they're calling themselves coaches without a qualification and they're not insured as a coach. They're just assuming that they're counseling is a, you know, a qualification because it's not a regulated industry yet. And they're assuming that their current insurance is going to cover them for if anything goes wrong, touch wood, with a coaching client, and it's not. And so they're leaving themselves widely exposed, but you wouldn't know this unless you were working with a supervisor who did know this and could give you that information. And then, of course, a supervisor's role is absolutely to, you know, advocate with you, for you, do things together with you, to challenge you, you know, to say things like, hey, would it be okay if I ask you a question now? And give them that nice challenge, because, you know, I believe a supervisee wants to grow, wants to learn, wants to expand. And so it is through that questioning, it's through that dialogue, it's through challenging that happens. But to work with a supervisor who can do that in a way that you feel empowered by, that you feel affirmed by, you know, that's able to use their self and draw upon her own practice wisdom in supporting you is going to be like so paramount in terms of how you grow as a counselor, as a therapist in your practice. And of course, you have responsibilities as a supervisee, don't you? I mean, just to, you know, cap some of them off, you know, your responsibilities are really around upholding the guidelines of the membership bodies you're with, like those ethical guidelines, codes of conduct, codes of behavior, professional standards. It's also your responsibility to bring cases to supervision that you want some guidance about, and, you know, to be able to demonstrate if you are making a diagnosis, for example, those of you who do, which aren't counselors in this case, it's psychologists, but being able to really validate why you made that diagnosis and really back that up and be able to demonstrate that. You also need to be open to learning and open to growth and open to change. And you need to be willing to implement directives that come through or guidance that comes through from that supervision that you have with your supervisor. So it's really around maintaining commitment to your growth, your education, your professional development, and to the counseling profession itself. Okay. So they're just some, you know, some overviews of, you know, I guess the role of the supervisor, the role of the supervisee. And when I provide supervision, you know, I do it a little bit differently to other supervisors because I want to integrate. I love this idea of masculine and feminine energy. And for me in supervision, what that looks like is how do we connect back into your body? How do we tune in with your body, you know, how do we help you identify where in your body you're feeling something that's uncomfortable for you, and how can we shift that? And, you know, what would we shift that feeling to? I also really love you know, doing a guided imagery or doing a visualization or drawing upon maybe even, you know, symbols. I really, really, really love the work of Carl Jung and archetypes. And so I draw upon these metaphors and symbols and, you know, to help supervisees uncover meaning. And this is really valuable because it gets you out of that left brain into your right. And that is an integration right there of that masculine and that feminine energy. And that's what expansion is about. And so if you'd like to learn more about what soul-centered supervision looks like in a way that's really ethical, that's still going to meet all of your guidelines and requirements, please contact me. In saying that, enrollments close at midnight tomorrow. But you can always reach out. My email address is hello@brooklynstorm.com, or of course you can just find me online. And I'll be happy to give you some information around what that looks like. And there are a couple of places left in group supervision, and there's two left for one-to-one supervision. And if this is resonating with you and you would like to try soul-centered supervision, see what that looks like, then I invite you to connect with me so that we can have a chat and see whether or not this would be a really great fit for you and your beautiful soul-led private practice. Thank you so much for listening to another episode today. Have a beautiful day, and I'll see you on Wednesday. Bye, guys. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Private Practice with Soul podcast today. If you're looking for clarity, if you need help with branding your processes and bringing everything into alignment with your soul's purpose for your private practice, head to the show notes and click the link for more information about the Private Practice Monthly Mentorship Group. You are going to love it. I can't wait to see you in there. Thanks so much for listening. Bye.